Well, hello to all of you brethren, wherever you may be listening in. It's certainly a tremendous blessing, privilege, and opportunity to be here once again at God's Feast of Tabernacles. For those who would like to jot down a title for the sermonette, the title is A Time to Be Nourished. Brethren, do you and I bring our appetite to the Feast of Tabernacles? I'm sure many of you right now are maybe thinking, well, that's an interesting question to ask at the Feast of Tabernacles. The word feast implying food, eating, and celebration, all of which are a part of these days. Each year, leading up to the feast, we begin to pack all the items we need to live while in temporary dwellings for 8 days. We pack clothing, shoes, toiletries. We pack our Bibles, notebooks, and pens or pencils. But the most important question we should ask ourselves when reviewing this list of what we bring with us to the feast is, do we bring our spiritual appetites to the feast? Each day, here at the Feast of Tabernacles, we receive instruction, messages of spiritual food that not only feeds and nourishes our minds while here listening, but also keeps us spiritually sustained and energized for months after the feast is over, after we've gone home. The spiritual food we take in during these days is so incredibly important. Not only is it important to our spiritual education, but also our growth and development as future kings and priests, as it is all tied together. And just as we are here learning and being taught, likewise, we will teach mankind how they also can have a place in this awesome plan of salvation for mankind if, the biggest two-letter word in the English dictionary, if they obey God. Remember Luke 12, verse 32, you don't have to turn there, it references how it's God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. He's been waiting for this plan to come to fruition for quite a long time. This is an exciting time. In Deuteronomy 16, verse 13 and 14, if you could please turn there with me. Deuteronomy 16, verse 13 and 14. God gives us a command of how we should approach these feast days. In verse 13 it reads, "You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days, when you have gathered from your threshing floor and from your winepress." Verse 14, "And you shall rejoice in your feast, you and your son and your daughter, your male servant and your female servant, and the Levite, the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow, who are within your gates." So this was a time to rejoice. God instructing us, commanding us here to rejoice for 7 days. Not approach the feast half-heartedly. Not come to the feast thinking about troubles or stress or worries that we all leave behind us. But rejoice, be uplifted and excited about the significance of what these days represent. Just imagine, for the first time in 6,000 years, humanity will have the blessing to live without the influence of Satan. No more bombardment of negative attitudes broadcast across the world every moment of the day. Man learning to get along with fellow man and the nature of animals completely reversed so that they're able to live with one another in peace. All of mankind and the entire creation on this earth living in harmony as God intended. These 7 days, God has placed in His plan for us to feast and be filled both spiritually and physically, and blessings on both. As we look forward, we always look forward. As we know God is a creator and master planner, He doesn't stop there. There is more after these 7 days, which is followed by the 8th day, the last great day. We are living a foretaste of an absolutely renewed world, restored to its intended beauty. Those alive, prosperous, living in an agriculture-based society, food in abundance through cooperation, peace, and harmony. growing food from the ground, providing adequate nourishment, not stripped of health benefits due to being genetically modified so it lasts just a little longer on the shelf without molding. Farmers no longer dumping crops due to inflation because it costs more to produce than what they can sell it for, or because there's challenges with supply chain or transportation, which leaves many hungry as the store shelves are empty. We will establish a society ruled by God's government, which is the God family teaching those alive God's laws, how to follow those laws and recognize the blessings that are promised to come as a result of obedience. All throughout the feast, we eat. I'm sure I'm not alone when I say I love to eat. I think it's the moderation that seems to be the struggle. But this should be our highlight and focus during these 8 days, feasting both spiritually and physically. And this incorporates fellowship and physical blessings. As God's people, we are constantly looking forward. God's annual holy days intended to gear our minds toward looking to the future and next step in His plan. Leading up to the feast each year, we find ourselves waiting in anticipation, hungering for the inspiring messages. We, as God's first fruits, come to the feast spiritually hungry and can't wait to feast on spiritual nourishment, which is meat in due season, and it helps us to grow strong spiritually. We pray often for more wisdom and understanding, not just throughout the year, but also while we're here at the feast. We come hungry for in-person fellowship that so many of us are without throughout the year. By the eighth day, we should leave full of God's word. We hunger and thirst for God's righteousness. As mentioned in Matthew 5, verse 6, you don't have to turn there. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. The word filled from Strong's Concordance 55:26, from the Greek word hortazo, also from 55:28, which means to feed, fill, or satisfy. When we have an appetite for and a hunger for God's learning, God's word, and way of life, He's given us a promise that He will satisfy that hunger, nourishing our minds spiritually. How many of us go home each year following the last great day feeling spiritually filled, satisfied, rejuvenated, full of passion and conviction, causing us to take action in our own lives as we continually grow and overcome? We should leave the feast each year with a renewed excitement, yearning for the time when mankind as a whole will be physically and spiritually fed, reaping the benefits of obeying God's law. And who will be feeding them? Of course, we know that Jesus Christ will be here at this time, but there will also be others involved. Please turn to Jeremiah 23, verse 4. This chapter talking about a time of Christ's return. Jeremiah 23, verse 4. I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking, says the Lord. We are in training now to be those spiritual sons and ambassadors of God who will be assisting Christ in feeding or teaching the word of God to the world during this time, and on to the great white throne judgment, teaching those who will be hungry for God's word. It's a remarkable thing that all human beings that have ever lived have had that basic physiological need to eat. It's one of those basic needs that, once filled, keeps us sustained and alive, and when we don't eat for extended periods of time, we begin to grow hungry. And the Day of Atonement is a great reminder for that, as we need God for everything. I can remember in my teen years, I had a growth spurt, and would eat anything and everything I could get my hands on, as my body was pulling nourishment to sustain that growth. the same applies within our spiritual lives. When we are called by God, we experience what we refer to as our first love of the truth. We're so on fire and receptive to learn that we mentally digest everything we can get our hands on. There's seemingly no amount of scripture, literature, audio sermons, sermonettes that can satisfy our appetite. We hunger and crave for more understanding that God has placed before us. In the millennium, there will be an entire civilization who will crave to be taught the Word of God. They will clearly see the blessings associated with living the way of the God family and hunger for instruction in how they also can take part in it. And God wants us to gain knowledge and training now so that we may be properly equipped and ready to teach and develop all of mankind, perpetuating God's way of life. Let's read more on this in Isaiah 2. If you turn with me to Isaiah 2. Isaiah 2, verse 2, and we'll read on to verse 3. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. And verse 3, many people shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways. Or the God family will teach us of his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. What an amazing blessing that God has placed before us. In conclusion, let us rejoice at this Feast of Tabernacles. Let us be inspired, rejuvenated, and uplifted for the opportunity we have just ahead of us in this incredible time that these days picture. God has called each and every one of us to fulfill his plan. So let's take every opportunity we have now to grow, being filled with God's messages for us here at the feast each and every day. Do we really grasp the magnitude of how important we are to God? You don't have to turn there, but 1 Peter 2:9 speaks of us as a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. You and I are so important to God in his plan, and he cares so much about you and I. We must be preparing ourselves now to be ready to teach the world, instructing them to live as the God family, feeding them the word of God so that they are nourished and lack nothing. What an awesome vision. Brethren, continue to hunger and thirst for God's righteousness. Have a great feast.